Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. What is man that thou rememberest him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? In this beautiful psalm, we picture looking up at the stars, the vast vault of the heavens. How insignificant mankind is in the huge universe. We can easily picture wondering, like the psalmist, what is a human being? What am I? What is my potential? What is my future? Let's see what answers the psalm has. The writer of the psalm is asking these questions of the Lord. O Yehovah, our Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? This is the first step in being human, to acknowledge, as the book of Genesis says, that Yehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Yehovah means the one who is and who lives of himself, not from someone else. He is the only truly human being, the only one who loves and is wise from himself. We become human as we receive him and acknowledge that no one is good but one, that is, God. O Yehovah, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. The psalm considers how we begin in life. The writer is looking over his life, realizing how important the first formative years are. As the saying goes, the child is father to the man. The psalm says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, thou hast ordained strength. The peaceful, innocent states of infancy and childhood remain with us all our life. They are one of the most important elements of who we are. By them, the Lord leads us into an adult acknowledgement of him. He gives us hope and idealism, an eagerness to strive to truly love others and to be worthy of love. A person is human because he has an interior life from the Lord. We not only receive life, but we are able to reflect on our lives. We not only have consciousness, but we have a higher life from which we notice what experiences, thoughts, and feelings we are having. A person is human because he or she has the ability to understand what is true and thus what is false, what is good and hence what is evil, and from this, the ability to think, will, and act freely. We get to choose what to believe and how to live, whether from God or from nature and from self. This ability begins from the innocent, happy states of infancy, which come from the presence of God with us before we are aware of ourselves. As we grow up and think more and more about ourselves, we discover the presence of what the psalm calls the enemy and the avenger. We find destructive, selfish, and other unclean tendencies with ourselves. The word teaches us to recognize what is good and what is harmful. The Lord says that we do not have to accept blame for the harmful leanings in us. He assures us that step by step, he will give us strength to subdue the enemy. It is our choice to follow the Lord or to ignore him and follow our prevailing instincts. The light to see what is good and bad, and the willpower to turn away from the bad, comes from innocence, the willingness to follow the Lord. To the extent that we reject the Lord and bury the innocent states of our infancy, we become less and less human. We read, "Without such states of innocence, a person can never be human, for the states of passions or of evil, unmoderated by states of affections for good, would be more atrocious than those of any animal." This passage is not saying that we are evil, but that as far as we reject the Lord, we are evil. Since there is no one who is good but one, if we reject him, we cannot help but be evil. It is essential for us to know this, so that we may turn to the Lord with all our heart and soul and strength, and keep turning back to him when we have wandered away. Reading further, "Mankind being such and so great evil, it is clear that a person can never get control of evil by himself. The source of internal strength of character, of self-control, is the desire to be led by the Lord. This desire is true innocence. So the psalm says, 'Out of the mouth of infants and sucklings thou hast founded strength, because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest cause the enemy and the avenger to cease.'" We have a choice to make all the time, each day of our lives. The choice is between the Lord's leading within us and the call of the world and the body. Will we act in a truly human way or go with animal instincts? We have the ability, unlike animals, to consider the heavens, to think of eternal life. "When I see thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast established." Nothing is more powerful in breaking the hold of a sensual craving than to think of eternal life. The Lord has a special use for each of us in heaven, in which we will find all happiness and peace. Are we willing to delay a moment's pleasure for the sake of the true, lasting happiness that the Lord will give? The work of the Lord's fingers emphasizes the divine power that can be with us in our conscience, especially when we lift up our thoughts to eternal life. "The moon and the stars which thou hast established" shows that we need to hold on to our faith in dark states of struggle. "What is man that thou rememberest him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" We feel so unworthy in our dark states. Heaven seems so far above us, so far away. But this is the main point in the struggles of temptation, to realize that without the Lord, we cannot get control of ourselves or overcome the harmful influences in our life. On the other hand, the more we learn to follow the Lord, the more he lifts us up out of the old selfish inclinations. A great truth that the Word teaches is that we are simply vessels that receive life, either through heaven or through hell. If we would only believe this, then we would not make ourselves guilty for evils that come into our minds, even the evils that we may yield to in moments of weakness. We would realize that these come from hell and would turn away from them rather than feeling they are inevitably a part of us. At the same time, we would not take credit and feel meritorious for the good things that we do, realizing that these are the Lord's doing, even though they feel completely our own. Perhaps the most wonderful thing about the way the Lord creates us is that we get to love, think, and act just as if our love, thought, and action came from ourselves. There can be only one life, and no one is good but one, that is, God. Yet he has made us to enjoy life as our own, so that we may make truly free choices and thus make the life of heaven our own. Thou hast made him a little less than the angels, but with glory and honor thou hast crowned him. The Lord gradually makes us to have dominion or control over our lower instincts, represented by all the animals mentioned in the psalm. All the various appetites, interests, drives, feelings, and thoughts that have a useful place are called the works of his hands. The Lord shows us each one's useful place and how it may serve heavenly uses. For example, anger has a place when it is in defense of what is good. Curiosity, hunger, sympathy, generosity, prudence, and all the other impulses may have a useful and therefore rewarding role in serving the Lord when in their proper places. Enjoyment of the ultimate pleasures of marriage has its place to strengthen and confirm the uniting of souls and the joining of minds. In subordination to this higher purpose, all the pleasures of these appetites are perfect. But if pleasures rule our lives, then they distract us from the happiness of heaven and of love truly conjugal. So the Lord teaches us to put all things in their place. Thou hast made him to rule over the works of thy hands. Thou hast set all things under his feet, the flock and the herd, all of them, and also the beast of the field, the bird of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. What is man? A human being is a vessel that receives life from the Lord in such a vivid way that life feels to us completely as our own. The more we grow into a living, obedient acknowledgement that life is the Lord's, the more joyful and free from hell our life becomes, and the more vividly our life seems our own, even though we know all the more clearly that everything wonderful is the Lord's. A human being is someone who thinks about his eternal life and lets the Lord put all his habits and inclinations into order under the perspective of eternal uses. We become more and more truly human as we become willing to be led by the Lord, the only one who is truly human, the only one who is good in heaven and on earth. O Yehovah, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.